Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There, now we did all the adult stuff. So many times we kind of get like stuck in a mode. We get stuck in a rut. I even saw when we were singing Jacob's Ladder, I put that in there because it's about the kids' songs. It's about the Sunday school group. It's about the picnic today. And so if you're a guest, I'm sorry, you're going to have to endure a little different style today. We don't generally do this. But why do we have to be stuck in such a mode? Why do we have to have all the kids conform to our way of worship at all times, every single Sunday? We wonder why maybe some kids get, so bored in church. Not that we're here to entertain, that's not what I'm talking about. But don't they count? Don't they matter? Don't you love the innocence of children? If you're older, and I consider myself older, I have two grandchildren. So you've learned immensely more than I'd say I did as a parent, how fun children are. How exciting they are. It's just awesome to be a grandpa. I love it. I mean, my heart just pounds to be a grandpa. I drive through Dodgeville and I look in their yard every time. And boy, if by chance I saw my granddaughter out there, I'd stop for it instantly. I generally stop anyways. But as a father, I'd be wondering why my kid wasn't doing something. Or I'd wonder why they were outside. What's going on? But boy, we have a lot more joy when we deal with our grandchildren. There's no way around it. Maybe I'm the only one. I kind of experienced some of you being grandmas and grandpas, and it seems you dote on them pretty good. So, I don't think I'm the only one. I remember a few years ago, if I dare speak this way, Pastor Arvo had mentioned in one of either the church meetings of the Federation, or was it brought to my attention, but I remember, Arvo, you speaking about children could be involved in reading scripture sometimes, or doing different things that we often don't do. And if I dare say, maybe you even said bringing collection and stuff. You know, picking the collection. Why does it always have to be the adults? Is it the only adults? Although little Aaron, he's been taking collection up there, and he runs it right down like a serious man, and I love it. So I appreciate it. But sometimes we have this tendency to tell the children, you really belong to the church when you're married and you have other children. Then you're a real member. That's not true. I've made the statement before, and I'll continue to make it. You're not the future church. We like to say that kind of thing. We sound holy and religious when we do it, don't we? You are the future church. Everything lies on your shoulders. You are the church. Jesus even brings it out very strongly, and that's what our text will focus on today. We're not waiting for them to count. They count now. Yesterday, I was blessed. I was blessed beyond measure. I had about 27 to 30 individuals come out to Camp Lefty from the old apostolic group. And they worked their tails off. And there was little kids over there climbing that ladder up on that roof. Oh, I'd probably get a lawsuit now, hey? But whatever. Write me up. Even if they could carry two shingles to Dad, they were thrilled. But at times, Jesse's like, get down! You're only 12 years old. You could get hurt. Well, they could get hurt playing in the woods. Why are we so hesitant to include them? Our sermon text for this morning is going to be taken from Matthew. It's a long, long reading, so please remain seated for this reading because I don't want you to get tired. Matthew chapter 19, I'm going to read verses 13 and 14, reading in Jesus' name. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples, they rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds and allow our flesh to be silent. Father, we pray that we could see the gift that is before us in this very congregation and the congregations around us. That, Father, we are blessed with many helpers. But oftentimes, we're far too busy, far too serious to realize the gift that's before us. We ask this all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So what do you think about kids? I think they're awesome. I truly do. I may not be, I'm going to be put this out there as a standard for you. I am not the best youth pastor. I'm not a very patient individual. But I'll tell you what, God is softening my heart, and once again, I think He's using children to do that. He softens my heart because He allows me to see the excitement that they have, this just the willingness to learn. They just want to learn. I remember about 2 years ago, I think it was one of the McCullen boys, Jared, he's the only boy, so he was up on the roof out at Lefty. And he was helping us put the tar paper down and stuff like that. But what I saw in a young man like that, he wanted to be involved. And I'm going to be the first one to admit it. My kids aren't here. Even my daughter couldn't make it today. She had a rough night. But anyways, I blew it. I blew it as a father. I'm trying to make up for it now. But I did not take the time to teach my children, to work with my children, and to actually allow them to grow and to understand things. Even if they messed it up a little. See, we need to also allow them to grow in the church. Even if they may not do it always perfectly. Even if they may not, you know, they might skip somebody taking collection because they may look at them and say, well, they may not have anything to give. Kids think differently. But I didn't spend that time. Did you? Mothers, were you so persistent on getting things right that you wouldn't let your kids do the dishes that way, or you wouldn't let them fold the clothes or do it because it wouldn't be the way you do it? And then we say, why don't these kids do anything? You kids, you got more energy than all of us. I'm telling you. We had, like I said, those 30 people out there. All of us guys were dragging by the end of the day. I couldn't wait to go to bed. Those kids were like, what else can we do? There's excitement. There's life. We talk about children. We talk about behaviors. And then we have a tendency to say childlike. And we bring it out, as Mark even brought up, in a childlike faith. There's two understandings when it comes to attitudes of children. Childish and childlike. Childish is not the most beautiful thing, is it? Actually, I see it quite often more in adults. We have a tendency to act childish when we don't get our own way. We take our toys and go home. When we don't get our own way, we build a new church. When we don't get our own way, we're not going to help anymore. We're childish quite often. But that's not what we're here for. Childish basically brings out this understanding of immaturity, being obnoxious, selfish, there's no doubt about it. Not really strong attributes, not found in faith. But childlike. Childlike actually describes something that's beautiful. Really, it talks about trust. It talks about joy. It talks about innocence. Curiosity. Forgiveness. All of us adults look bored here. Ooh, this is not what we came to church for. We don't want to hear about kids. Well, Jesus seems to think that kids are pretty darn important. He seems to think that their attitude is pretty awesome. I could be wrong. I don't know. But anyways, he says really that these characteristics now, these are very much of childlike. To have that joy, to have that curiosity, to have that faith. And really, we come to a point where children actually ask honest questions. Sometimes we'll even make the statement too honest, eh? Like, you know, when they come up to a bigger lady and they say, when are you going to have your baby? Oh, we don't like that one. We want to crawl out. They're in Walmart line and you just want to leave. I've had that happen. And it's like, of course, I've also done it to my own aunt, and she wasn't expecting, and I was an adult, and I got punched. But anyways. But the child doesn't ask it to be demeaning. The child doesn't ask the question out of a threat, doesn't have another means or anything. So they asked honest questions, truly honest questions. You know, they simply want to know. Sometimes we're bothered by those questions. But why? Because we actually forget, because we've encountered in our lifetime as adults loaded questions. You know someone's asking a question to come at you with something else. But why are we gauging children that way? We shouldn't. Childlike faith in reality asks honest questions. Children ask openly, unlike adults. We're afraid. Children don't fear their reputation, their image, what people think of them. They'll quite often ask very openly. So not only are they honest when they ask the questions, they're very open about it. They'll say it in the middle of the Walmart line. And we want to take that out of them. Obviously, we know there's a time and a place. And obviously, as we become adults, we understand that not everyone that's larger is pregnant. We learn those things. It doesn't mean we're going to ask the question over and over. That's being irritating. But you turn around and you look at it and you say, you know what? They really don't care about the awkward situation because they're not thinking of it. They want the truth. They'll ask a question like, why are you wearing that hat? And you think, well, what's wrong with my hat? Well, it's just different. But people get offended. I remember being at Carvacos one day. I'm not kidding you. This little kid saw this guy come, and he had purple hair shaved all on one side. I'm not making a judgment. I'm telling you the scenario, okay? He had earrings like crazy and tattoos like crazy. And some little kid went up to him, and I'm not kidding you. He looks at him. He says, you look like a clown. And that guy got irritated. One of the elders that was in there, he looked at him and he said, well, if you don't dress like that, no one will ask those kind of questions, you know, or say those kind of statements. He said, when you dress like that, of course the kid's going to ask that. Because they've seen those kind of things. Why would we be so offended if we're drawing attention to ourselves in certain ways? Why are we so offended when it gets us attention? The guy calmed down instantly and he actually, I thought it was cute because then he actually sat down on his knees and he started talking to the little kid and he started telling him a story about how he wanted to be in a circus but his dad would never let him, so then he became like this. And the little kid just ate it up. He was happy. He got his answers. But you don't have to be afraid. Childlike faith asks very openly. Children ask from a place of vulnerability. They're very vulnerable when they ask. And great expectation. They actually look at you like you have all the answers. But really, what they're also saying, which we as adults don't want to do, is they're saying, we don't know. When we ask adults questions, we often get offended because we don't want to be caught not knowing. We have our pride. They ask very vulnerably because they just want to know. And I'm bringing this all out in a fashion because we are raising young individuals. We're raising children in our congregation. And when it comes to spiritual matters, are we willing to allow them to ask honestly? I couldn't in the church I grew up in. Not openly. There were some you could go to. Do we allow them to ask honestly? Are we afraid of questions? Then we turn around and we say, well, then they can ask really anything they want. That was a rule that was at our dinner table. It was probably not the most Christian rule in the world because we like our rules. At our dinner table, anybody could ask any question. Any question. I remember one time Tia brought home this young man that was from another congregation. And all the boys sat down, and they started asking questions about different things. And this kid probably thought we were straight from the pit. But that was an open forum where many of our kids and their friends came and sat and talked about many things that us adults would like to pretend doesn't happen. They open their questions with vulnerability, expectation of answers. They start really to trust that the adult will give the answer. Children also do what is best most of the time. They really do. They do what is best because they trust their parents. In other words, they'll ask the question, the parent will give an answer, and they believe it. We believe in Santa Claus for a long time, many of us, because our parents told us that Santa Claus was real. We believe in Easter bunnies. We believe in a lot of things. Not saying we've all done that. I know these are blanket statements that we cannot put upon everybody. But to think about the trust that children have. This is really what is encouraging. Children trust, and they find great satisfaction in what their parents share with them. So now when you turn around, you see there is a great difference. Now that I've bored you with this, there is a great difference between acting childish and childlike. Now we come back for a few minutes of what Jesus speaks to us about. It says that now there were children that were brought to Jesus. And this word actually would be considered basically infant children, more or less, in the Greek context. But anyways, these children were brought to him that he might what? This is quite simple. That he would bless them. So all of these children were being brought in. Jesus was there. He was teaching. He was preaching. He was doing his thing. And they brought these children in. Can you imagine that? Ushered them into the room. Can you imagine literally right now if Brother Ed got up and brought his kids here and asked me, "Hey Jesse, can you just bless these kids right now?" You guys would be irritated. How rude. We're in the middle of a serious worship service here. We're in the middle of all kinds of things. What could be a greater thing than asking someone to bless, especially Christ Jesus, to bless your children? And actually what it is us adults get caught up in our style of thinking, in our style of understanding of worship and praise to God, and we turn around and we say, "We're too busy for this." Are we too busy? Are we too busy to take time to raise our children and to listen to them? Are we too busy to answer their numerous questions because they're able to be vulnerable and ask you? Are we too busy to listen to them? Are we too busy to watch? To see what they're doing? To hear them? I have been far too busy too long. But it's not too late. We can take the time to listen, to hear. They were bringing children to Jesus that he would just lay hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples, they knew best. They're adults. They understand. They rebuked him. Can you imagine what the rebuke would sound like? You know what's going on here? This Jesus, he's a great prophet. He's a mighty guy. He has great learning. This guy is amazing. I mean, he's touched people and healed them. He's fed the thousands. He's done all of these things. He doesn't have time for this. He's a busy individual. When did we lose sight of the gift before us? When did we lose sight that God has blessed us with an inheritance? And I'm not talking eternal inheritance at this moment. I'm speaking about an earthly inheritance that our children will carry on the faith, the name. They're our kids. They're too busy. Don't bring these kids here. We've got serious things going on. Big adult things going on. Oh my goodness. Jesus turns around and he says, "Let the little children come unto me. And don't stop them." Parents get more nervous, and obviously we need to have some semblance of regulation. You know, you don't want kids coming up here and pulling everything down because they don't understand what this is all about. But why should a little child never be able to walk up here? Are we saying, stay away? It's too holy. Why can't a child come and ask a question? Why couldn't a child read some scripture? Why couldn't a child take the collection? Because, boy, I act childish at times and you allow me to preach. But to have that faith that trusts in the Word of God. And this is why this is so important. And this is just the simplest of statements that we speak to people all the time. We turn around and we tell them something so simple, but yet so profound as, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall have eternal life." That is the gospel. That is the message of hope. But then we turn around at times and we say, but we have to do this way. We have to do this way. My way is the only way. We can't have this going on or that going on. We must always keep this semblance of order that I see to be perfect. No. We must always bring honor and glory to God, and we must allow people to be able to serve at any capacity that they can serve. Even children. It would be my goal someday to actually have the whole Sunday school kid do the whole service. To literally do the whole service. Why couldn't a young individual bring forth a message of the gospel? Especially a confirmant. Why couldn't an individual do the prayers? Is it not holy enough? Do we not have enough these and thous in there? Why are we so busy? Are we going to run out of Sundays? He says, "Let the little children come unto me. Don't stop them. Don't hinder them." He says, "Really? This is how the kingdom of God is made up. Not childish people wanting their own way, but people of childlike faith that trust and believe we can serve in all capacities, in all places." That to me is beautiful. You ever watch a child go out? Like, okay, out of lefty lately, and I'm going to wrap this up because I've taken enough of your time. But out of lefty, when you mow, I don't know if you've noticed at your house, dandelions are bad this year. There's tons of them. You go out there, and my little granddaughter is 2 years old. She walks over, field full of dandelions. Picks one up, looks at it and smiles. How beautiful that dandelion is. And comes and gives it to Yaya or Papa. I'm mowing these things over. I'm upset because they don't die when I cut them. And she saw the beauty in one dandelion. That's childlike. Do we see the beauty in people around us? Do we see the beauty in the children? Children, do you know? And when I say children, I'm not trying to be insulting, because, you know, some like Ellen aren't big adults, but others are younger. Do you see your value? Do we see the joy they have, the energy they have? You are so valuable. I praise God for you. I truly do. To see Jessica and Dave Jukri's little kids running around, they're beautiful children. Steve and I went to the Century 21 there the other day. He had to take care of some business. And there were little girls were out there. "Hi, Pastor Jesse!" None of you guys do that for me. But those little girls were so excited. They were eating a popsicle or something, and they wanted to show me that. You guys have never shown me your popsicles. They find joy. Why can't we find joy? Because we're so serious. We got serious business to take care of. And yes, there are serious things, but Christ took care of the serious of all. And He says, now be in that joy. Love. Encourage. Embrace the moments that you have. We don't live as miserable children in this miserable world. We live as victorious individuals founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ with great joy and great hope. Yes, we're excited. Man, there's dandelions, and they are beautiful. They're yellow against the green. Ah! They won't be such a pain to you if you enjoy them. Jukea enjoyed one. He says, the kingdom of heaven is for such a one. And that's what Jesus had told us, what Mark had read in Matthew. The greatest. That's what they asked. They asked this question. Jesus, We know we're all that. We're hanging out with you. We're really cool. So who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is it going to be Peter? Oh, we love Peter because he was that very zealous one, wasn't he? He was the one that thought he could do anything. Is it Paul? Oh, Paul, he's a great warrior. He is a great warrior. Is it the disciple whom Jesus loved? Is it John, who laid his head upon his breast? Jesus says, none of those guys. He takes a little child. This is the greatest. We keep striving for Paul, for John, for Peter, for Napoleon, for some great king, some great president. We strive for all that. We strive for the wealth. We strive for everything else in this world. And we're going to leave it all behind whether we like it or not. It is that two-year-old little girl out at Lefty in the middle of a field of dandelions who picks one and says, isn't it beautiful? I must share it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we be little boys, be little girls, be excited about what God has given to us, even though it may seem like it's everywhere, and rejoice and share it with Yaya and Papa. For the world needs to hear it. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Gracious Heavenly